there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good morning. If we haven't met, I am Blake Whiteman, get to be campus pastor here at the Coeur d'Alene campus. And as Christian said, we're talking about overcoming today. We're starting a new series next week, talking about the spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. It's going to be awesome. We're going to take a couple months doing that, so hopefully you'll join us for that one. But for today, we get to talk about testimony. And here's the invitation at the beginning of this message, is that right now, right away, you would ask yourself, what is your testimony? What's your story? Who are you? Why do you do what you do? Why are you the way that you are? It's a good question to ask. And so, a couple of jokes there, right? You know who you are. Overcome is the title of the series, because what God says in the book of Revelation, and disclaimer, the whole book of the Bible, is that we as people are invited to overcome the world and that which brings us death and entangles. Yes, through the blood of the Lamb of Jesus, the gospel message true, and by testimony, your testimony. We're going to talk about what that means today. My hope is that you would see that God invites you to live a life that is one that is an overcomer. You believe that, and you put into practice what he says about how that's true and how it's not. So if you have your Bible today in your app, or if you have in your notes, we're going to live a little bit in 1 John chapter 5, and then we'll build a few cases around that. So if you want to get there now, we're going to be heading that way. But we're going to start by repeating kind of our setup verse in Revelation. Where is Revelation in the Bible? To the end. When does the end happen? What? Yes, it will. It's at the end of the text. So we're going to start there, but wouldn't you know it, we're going to start back at the beginning as well with this idea. So let's start in Revelation chapter 12, 10 and 11 as we start for today. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, power, and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. It goes on to say they did not love their life even when faced with death. So this idea, this concept of revelation is at the end of the story, bringing to full fruition a lot of the details, a lot of the themes, a lot of the purposes, the hope and invitation of God that starts in the beginning. And so this idea of overcoming, of life, of an invitation of God, that your story and who you are is how you overcome. It doesn't end in the end, but it does start in the beginning. And we'll talk about what that actually means. So we overcome through the blood of the Lamb. That was the message last week. Is that the saving gospel message through the life and the ministry and the truth presented of Jesus Christ is how we overcome the wages of sin. It's through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, his life, his mission, his ministry, his blood shed on the cross. It's done. It's finished. It's completed. And the invitation is that you would choose to believe that. And in faith, live in that. Which then leads to what? Your testimony. Who are you? What's your story? How is that true and not true? What does that look like? And so as John puts those two pieces together in Revelation, we get to go on a little journey today and kind of build out what we believe he means by that. And so again, for today, who are you? What's your story? Who's it about? Who do you share it with? Should you? Why? When? All super good questions. But here's what we can take away, is that in this life and for eternity, we overcome and we have it, that meaning life, through Jesus. We also get to choose to believe and have faith in that, and we'll walk that out. So let's talk about some words for a minute. I think words matter, do you? Yep. Our Bible is not written in English. Our translations are, but Hebrew and Greek predominantly are the language that's used. And so I always like to just bring those to light, even if it's just information that's helpful. But I think that there's images and word pictures that come from the original language that help us understand the intent of what the author is saying. So when you hear testimony, the word testimony is similar but not exact the same as the word witness. And we'll see that with our Greek and our Hebrew. So our Greek language used in Revelation, which is New Testament predominantly, the word is martus. Martus in your notes. And it looks a lot like a different word, martyr. See that in there? If you have your notes, yep, it looks similar because that's where the word martyr comes from. We'll get there in a little bit. The word martus is defined as an uncertain affinity. It's a witness. Literally, a witness in the judicial sense, court, if you will, or figuratively, by an analogy. So martyr is a record or a witness. If you dig a little deeper, the word martyria is the evidence given. So here's where these two pieces come together. The testimony, as you'll see there, is the actual, it's information. It's a story. It's the data, if you will. The person that gives the testimony is the what? It's the witness. So when you hear witness and testimony, what kind of context or environment comes to mind? Court, right? Court, we hear that all the time. We need a witness. We're going to call the witness to the stand to give their testimony. So the person is the witness. The testimony is the story. Tracking so far? That's the intent. So if we go into the original Hebrew, which we see in the Old Testament, same concept applies. The word aid, looks like ed, it's pronounced aid, is again a witness, a testimony specifically. And the word ood, these are like man words, huh? Ood, aid. You can't undo that. But if we were in court, what would you say? Strike that. Okay, back on track. The word ood means to bear witness, to testify. Now, the other half of the definition, which I love through a lot of the Hebrew language, gives picture, imagery, is to testify or to return, to repeat, or to go about again. So there's this interesting characteristic of this idea of testimony in witness that is repetitive. To do again, to go back to that which is true, to repeat, or to do over. And so just keep that imagery when we talk about witness and testimony for today. So if those are our words, what does that mean? A witness is someone who sees something important or amazing or significant, and they share what they've seen. They share it. They've seen it. They've experienced it. Furthermore, a witness's testimony, which would be the description about it, is what a person declares about what they've seen, known, and experienced. So if we take our definitions, we put it into the context of the Bible, of our life, like we're talking about for this message, that would mean that we become people, by invitation, that give a testimony, which is displayed by our lives, about He, Jesus, the Word of God, God Himself, that we've seen, that we know, that we've experienced. And here's the beautiful part about this imagery and about what I believe we're going to see in the Bible, is that it's something that as we are that, not one time, as you are who you are, not only is it something that you share, but that's how we overcome. How you overcome this world. How you overcome sin. How you overcome fear and failure. How you overcome is by being a person that shares who God is, what you've seen Him do, how you know Him, and that you do that so that you are a testimony, not that you just have one. We'll talk more about that. Now, when we think about this idea, we as believers are invited to be a group of people, a body, if you will, the church, that are witnesses to who we see, know, and experience in God. We're to bear witness, to be that, and to share our testimony with the world. Now, we pulled our theme verse from the book of Revelation, and that's where in the text again? It's at the end. But where did this idea start? It started in the beginning. This is not an end time, one time concept. You don't have a singular testimony. It's intended to be an always concept. See, in the beginning of creation, we see that God invites people, starting with Adam and Eve, to be a people that are made in His image and likeness, that their whole purpose and value, who they were to be, their testimony of life, was to be a people that showed the rest of the world who God is. True? And they nailed it, and the story was over. Some of that's true. It's kind of funny, but you may think that about your own story. Is that because you didn't nail it, so the story's over? You can choose to see which parts of it are true, but we see that Adam and Eve are a part of it, and then God starts to write this beautiful story about how he's always, from the very beginning, invited people to trust and have faith and belief in him, to be his witnesses. And the way in which they were to witness to the world was to be a living, what? Testimony. To be a people that put God on display. To be a people that tell the story of who God is and what he's done, how they've seen him work, what he's done for them, who they are in light of God's word. The best and number one mechanism for the world to know who God is through who? You. Me. Us. And that started in the very beginning. We see that God goes through a whole bunch of people, and then in no joking manner, they mess it up. They forget. They fail. They get overwhelmed. Sometimes they choose the world over the truth of God. Sometimes they choose each other over God. Sometimes they choose themselves over who God is. Which here comes the beautiful detail of the word. You see, I got excited there. Okay? Because the concept of being a witness and a testimony is an always thing that requires repetition, to return back to that which is true over and over again, to be reminded of who God is and what his truth is and what the gospel is and who you are over and over and over again. Who needs that? I do. That the repetition of being a testimony, not just giving one, is something that God has instituted from the beginning. And if we do a very unfair fast-forwarding through the whole part of the old story, is we see that God starts to specifically choose people, starting with this person called Abraham, which is the line of a whole bunch of people that God says, I'm going to choose you to put my truth on display to the rest of the world. Abraham was invited to put his life on display so that all nations would be blessed through him. Did he do it perfectly? No. Did he do it to the glory of God? Yes. Abraham's righteousness was credited to him because of his faith, not because of his performance. And we see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and work through the patriarchs. And we see that God chooses a people to be his witnesses to the world. So how is the world going to know who God is? Through who? People. And is it because they do everything right and they know everything right? That's not the story I read in here. The story that I read in here is a people that will continually be honest in their faith to return back to a God to say, God, who are you and who am I? What is it that's true and what is it that's good? And all the sorts of these amazing wisdom things that we declare now in America, God has put in display in the Old Testament. Like, how you are when you fail is going to reveal more about who God is and who you are than it is when you succeed. It's not how much you know, it's how much you care. All these sorts of ideas are put into practice. A genuine person, who they are, is going to speak the loudest about who their God is. They're a witness, and their testimony is how they live. And how they live points to what they know and what they've seen and experienced and what they understand about who God is. 1 Peter tells us in chapter 3, that we're always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. Genuinely, are you a person that can answer the question, why do you do what you do? Why do you say that? Why do you act that way? Why do you do that? Do you have an answer for that? Are you inviting those questions to give testimony, to be a witness? When we do, we overcome. When we do, the world knows. And so we see that it starts with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then all of a sudden we see that God has an entire group of people that have forgotten who they are and what's true, this nation of Israel that started by a people that represented God, that were intended to be witnesses to the world, and they find themselves in bondage and slavery in this place called Egypt, dark and sideways and overwhelmed, guilt and shame and a lost purpose. Ever been there? And what does God do? Provides a way. He provides a means. He provides reconciliation. He provides a remnant. He provides a person. And so God calls this fella named Moses. Doesn't know how to speak, stuttering guy, lack of faith, lots of faith, believes, kind of doesn't, kind of like me, probably kind of like you. And he says, I want you to be a person that is my witness. And I want your life and your trust and your faith in me to be the testimony in which the world is going to see who I am. Literally, no pun, absolutely pun intended. Moses, burning bush, who send me, I am. Bible joke. I want you to show the world who I am. Come on, come on. Right? Who sent me? I am sent you. So Moses goes and he redeems and he restores and he saves the people from Egypt, from bondage and slavery. And through this man that is to be the image of God put on display, they overcome the world and they're set free. The Passover happens through the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. They overcome, and by the life and faith and belief of their testimony and the one who did it. And they're free from Egypt. And they go through this amazing process of understanding to start to learn who they are and who God is. And he takes them through the parting of the sea, the baptizing of them, if you will, to go from an old to a new, from a lost to a found. And they're bringing, God's bringing them through their story. He's building their testimony so that they would be his witnesses. And he calls all of them to be his people to put display on the world. Are you seeing the theme in the text? And they get through it and it's amazing. And then the story's over. Or is it just beginning? And we see that those people choose to trust and have faith in God and the people that he's called out. But then very shortly we see they complain and they forget. They make poor decisions. And yet again, they find themselves with this opportunity to make a decision. Who am I and why do I do what I do? And what do I trust in? And who is God? The God I've seen, the God I know, the God I believe in. Am I gonna have faith to put that into practice? Or am I just gonna be a person that says, I'm gonna be my own God. I'm gonna blame Moses. I want more. I wanna go back to Egypt. And we're just in the very beginning of the text. What does God do? He restores and he redeems. We see the story of Moses goes on that this theme is gonna repeat itself. Because even though God calls and he chooses, hear this today, and he invites you to be a witness and a testimony, he doesn't quit on you when you don't do it perfectly. He wants you in every place and every space that he takes you to continually be a person that points back to who he is. And so the entire nation of Israel, they blow it, and God finds a way. And God continually invites and continually pursues and continually says, would you trust me in the midst of whatever you're in right now? And as we choose to be a people that return to trust and faith and belief, oftentimes through repentance, through humility, through owning our own stuff, as we go through that process, God changes us and we become the witness of God to the world. Your story is the testimony. Would you hear that today? Would you actually believe that your own individual testimony and story is so unbelievably unique that you are not like any other person that sits in this room or any other person that's ever been in creation? That God has predestined you to live your life out in such a way that will scream to the universe who our God is and what he's done for you. Your testimony is not just words you say and things you know. It's who God invites you to be, how you are, why you are. And if we're gonna be honest, because that's what we do around here, it's most impactful when you're not perfect and when you mess it up and when you cry out and when you fail and when you have nothing left and when you have to go, yep, I did it again and I'm really sorry. Or hey, I was wrong. Or hey, I don't have every answer. Or hey, I'm really greedy and pretty selfish. Would you forgive me? Or whatever your story may be. Then a person that goes through their living out of their testimony when they choose to believe what God says is good and true about them, even though they've blown it 99 times, is a person to where somebody goes, why did you do that? Why do you do that? Why are you that way? And you can be a person that says, let me tell you, this is my testimony. I am the way I am because of who my God is. That we would not only be ashamed of that, that we would have confidence and faith in that and find ourselves at some point in our lives, hopefully sooner than later, but if we have to go back to it over and over again, that's okay. That would be a person that says, God, I know who I am and I know who you are, and here I stand. Would you send me like you sent Moses? Would you allow me to have enough confidence to tell my story to whoever may come across my path? Somebody across the street, somebody across the cubicle, somebody sits across me at the dinner table. That I would be a person that would be a witness for you, God, that is willing to share my story. And as we do that, we overcome. We find life. We work through failure in what God calls death in the present. That through the process of being a living testimony, we overcome. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb has already been shed and it's done and it's complete and it's finished. The free gift of grace that God bestows upon us, we walk in. We walk from, not to get to. We don't earn it, we've been given it. So, the story continues on and we go from Moses and then God sends the prophets to be the witnesses of the earth, the same thing. And then they continually point back to one who's gonna be the best chief expert witness. Who's that? Jesus. The will of Jesus was to reveal the intent, tell the story of the Father to all of creation. The expert witness of Jesus came and put on display that which was true about God and humanity. And then when Jesus, before he goes to the cross, says, I've completed the work that you've given me to do, Father, gives an invitation and a commandment. He says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you who are my witnesses, go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you forever. Always, I am with you. And we see that that group of people did that. They said, we, as the apostles and the disciples, will be the witnesses of God that will share our testimony to the world. We have seen what we have seen, and we know what we know, and this is who we are, not just things that we say. And fast forward into the church. The church is a group of people that say, here we are that. We are the witnesses. We want to give testimony. We want to share the gospel truth. We want to share our lives. Where are we going to do that? We're going to be our witnesses to the ends of the earth. All nations will be blessed through us by who we are and how we live, to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, starting in your heart right home in Jerusalem. When is the invitation to be a witness? The very beginning. To give testimony. It's purpose. So let's look at some scripture today, specifically, to see how God talks about that. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 comes after chapter 11. It's math. Hebrews chapter 11 is very well-quoted entire chapter that is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. And the writer of Hebrews chapters 11 goes through and he starts, as you'll see in the very beginning, and he mentions person after person after person after person after person since the beginning of creation that has had enough faith that their life is a testimony of who God is. And he praises them for it. And he says that this is what it means. And then the very next chapter, 12, you have to go back and read 11. 12, verse 1 says this, because we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And do what? Let us run the race with perseverance. The race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of what? Faith. I would suggest this morning that the foundation of our testimony and of our witness is rooted in our faith. A few weeks ago, we had a conversation. We talked about what does it mean to work and to exert and to love God with all your heart, soul, and every very capacity that you have within your body. And that oftentimes the hardest work you'll ever do is going to be doing the work of belief. Let's go back to our definition again. Part of being a witness is something that you do how often? Over and over and over and over, that we would actually believe. And in faith, every single day, make a choice that Jesus is who he says he was, that the God of the universe is still doing what he's promised, that today we would choose to believe, and in our faith, our testimony is built. that would be what we talk about. That we would look upon that and go, there's been those that before us have come, those that are near us right now, and those that will be after us that will function in faith, that in their faith and belief, God will use them to be light in the darkness, to reach every person in every place. And you know the only way that that's ever gonna work is if every single specific individual, you included, believes that you are the testimony, that your story and your nuance and your in every single jot and tittle, if you will, of the life that you have is intentionally put together on purpose, that God works through every part of that for someone who needs to hear your story, that would see God in you, in how you've done what you've done, the good and the bad and everything in between, that you have the opportunity to be God's grace in its various forms by the way that you choose to be. A witness, testimony of who God is. That the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 says, there's gonna be a little perseverance that's required. There's a race that's to be run. And you're never intended to do it alone, which is why there's such a great cloud of witnesses. If you're like me, I get stuck in a spot where I'm Israel again, I forget. Forget who I am, I forget what God's done. I forget what his promises are. Fear gets bigger than my faith. My failures loom over my hope. And I become a person that says, I can't be a witness and I don't have a testimony because I haven't done it right, or I haven't done it right enough, or I haven't earned it, or somebody said that I don't have it. I need to be reminded, because God's in the reminding business, is he not? That who I am is my story, not what I do. Not what I build, not what I earn, not how perfect I am, but that I walk with the one who's in control of all those things. There's more out there than just you. There's more out there than just me. There's more out there than just us. We're to be encouraged by the body together that you have a very specific part to play in the body of Christ that only you can play. And that the invitation for your specific life, a witness this morning, has always been from the beginning. That God has made you in his image and his likeness. That he's invited you to live out to the fullest extent the giftedness that he has given you in the unique ways that only you can do it. That you will cross paths with only the people that will be in your life, that you have an opportunity from the invitation at the beginning to say, let me show you who I am because of who my God is for me. And in that, the world is overcome. Because the blood of the Lamb and the sacrifice of his life was only because he believed and trusted in the Father's will. And what he said and what he did was in accordance with that. And he invites us to have the exact same experience, the exact same impact by the exact same invitation, that through Jesus's life and yours, the world can be overcome, not only for you, but for those who would watch as you bear witness. So let's look at what 1 John says, chapter 5, 1 through 12. And a lot of the scripture here, we're just gonna kind of walk through and read here as we're just kind of absorbing what I believe God is sharing with us this morning. Just to see the text repeated and shown again. And what God says is true. I pray that you'd hear it and believe it this morning. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves who has ever been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commands. For this is the love of God, if we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our, what? Just making sure it was up there. Our faith. What is it that is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith in who Jesus is. Our faith in Jesus renders us born again, a child of God. It's our belief. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies. Because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Where is it? Come on. It's in you. You are the testimony. The testimony is in you. You don't just have a testimony. You are the testimony through those who believe. Whoever does not believe has made God a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and in this life is in his son. Whoever has the son have life. Whoever does not have the son of God does not have life. I mean, it's almost like John was writing that repetitively over and over again, that we would see witness and testimony and belief and faith in Jesus, that the testimony is in you, and he just repeats it over and over again like he knows. It's amazing. Do you believe that today? We're working on believing that. How about that? We believe, but help us in our belief. Oh, I love it. It's like, come on, let go. That's right. Promises of God help set the foundation of our belief in God. Psalm 66 gives us a little bit of a snapshot into what the psalmist declares about their own witness and testimony. And here's why I love this little psalm piece. I want to just touch on this here, is because it gives us a little bit of the parts of our testimony. Now, there's other classes and other books and other sermons where you can walk through what are the parts of your testimony. I think you should. I think that's good. I think every single one of us should be able to tell our own story about how we've known God, how we've seen God, how we've experienced God. I think every single one of us should be mindful of who we are and where we came from. I think every single one of us should be able to articulate our story and articulate who God is to you and how he is to you. That's what it means to have a faith and a belief, and to build that and work that out. That's why we invite every single person to be in community, to consistently meet, to be discipled, to ask great questions, to be honest and transparent, to discover who you are and who God is, which starts at the very beginning of the book. We need to learn, we need to grow, we need to be taught, we need to be discipled, we need to grow, we need to learn, we need to disciple others. That's why we do what we do. That's why we are who we are. You should know that. Be a witness and have testimony. There's some fun parts in the psalmist that I think gives us some handles on that. It says in 66. Look at that just for today. 66, 16. Here's what they say. It says, come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Ugh, stop there. What would it be if you just dedicated the rest of your life to that? That you would be a person that would be mindful of the fact that God has called you in your life to be a witness and a testimony, that you would be willing to strive to tell others, whoever may hear it from the rooftops and the darkness of wherever place you may find yourself, that you would say, would you come and listen? Would you just listen so that I can tell you what God has done for me and who God is and who I am and who I was, and who I am now, and who I'm trying to become. And let me tell you about the things when I've missed. Let me tell you about the things when I've hit it right on. Let me tell you about the joys and the celebration. Let me tell you about who I am. Let me tell you about who my God is and what he's done. Nothing is more powerful than that testimony. And only you have yours. Nobody else can tell your story like you can. Nobody else experiences God like you have. You are the only one that bears the story that you have. And the psalmist, even in one sentence, just says, would you listen? And would you let me tell you about what my God has done? I gotta be honest, most of the time, that's not what I'm thinking. Most of the time, I'm trying to fix stuff, trying to plan ahead, and trying to do good leadership, husbandry things. Right? Trying to provide, trying to work things out, trying to protect myself, trying to clear it, all the things, right? It's just consumed by that. And yet when I read through the subtle hints of what God says and still small voices, he said, would you just listen and let me tell you about what God has done for me? If I'd prioritize sharing that with people, man, who would be reached through that? To value that, to not be ashamed of your story, but to be proud of the God who's in it, that says, if you trust me and you have belief, you'll find life. If you trust and have belief that my son is who he says he is, you'll have it abundantly and forever, now and for eternity. And guess what? Oh, man and woman, you're like man and woman that I've created. You're going to stumble and you're going to slip. But that's not who you are. He goes on, talks about some really specific stuff here, which is great. He says, I cried out to him with my mouth and I praise him with my tongue. I think every part of our testimony needs to have that peace. Where when we come to see who we can be and the decisions that we can make, not who we are, but some of the times in which we miss, that we find ourselves crying out to God. And we recognize who he is and who we are. But I think if we fail to cry out to God, if we fail to humble ourselves, if we fail to be honest, if we fail to really want to know who we are, we miss it. But when we do cry out, genuinely, I think that which follows is the praise of God that comes from our lips, of how good he is and how good his promises are and how faithful he is and how long-suffering he is and how much he loves and how much he redeems and how much he restores and how much grace he gives and how much he offers and how he returns and repeats and over again, which bears witness to the world of who God is in creation, that he offers that to us, that when we choose to see that and believe that and become that, we offer that to the world. That the eliciting of our lips is praise for God, but not only in what we say, but who we are. And then he says this, he says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I think that when we choose to believe in sin and the opposite of God, that God knows that. I know that when I'm horrendously selfish and completely sideways, that I don't know if God hears me. But when I am that way, and it's in my heart, and I don't want to be that way, he absolutely does. He totally does. But he listens to the condition of my heart when I'm willing to share it. And his invitation is that we would not choose sin and we would not choose darkness, that when we recognize that through repentance and acknowledgement, through faith and belief, that God sees, he knows, he listens. He remembers, he invites, and he says, would you trust me? I forgive you through grace because it's finished through the blood of the Lamb. But would you choose to walk in my ways? He says, but God surely has listened and he has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. The promises of God is the foundation of our testimony and our witness through faith. The parts of our story matter. I'd encourage you to be in community, to pray by yourself, to read the text of God and discover what are the parts of your story. And I'll summarize it as we end for this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, of the purpose of your testimony, purpose of your story, the purpose of your walk. The purpose is the same as the end as it is in the middle and in the beginning, is to be a witness and share testimony to the world of who God is. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We trust in his promises, and there's parts to our story, and there's also a purpose for our lives, and that's to be a witness, to bear testimony. The part of us recognizing the part of our story is to believe and have faith that we are new, that the old is who you were, but is not who you are, that the new has come, and that the God of all creation is a God of restoration and redemption and reconciliation, and he has given you and me and us that message and that ministry. The words and the ways, our belief and our action, is that we get to be a people that are ambassadors. We wear the name of Christ. We bear the image of God in us. That who we are and how we act, as we are an ambassador for God in this world, we become the expert witness. We become the one who shares testimony. We become the one that are the authors and the inviters and the sharers of Jesus and the ministry of reconciliation. That we would have a story to tell, and the story would be reconciled to God. we can overcome. True? Do we overcome? Yes. Will we overcome? Yes. How? By the blood of the Lamb that's been shed and through your life, who you are, your witness, and your testimony of who he is and how he is. That's what it means to be a disciple. That was what it means to be a believer. That's what it means to be a part of the church. That's what it means to have purpose and value and find life abundantly in Jesus now and in the age to come. Amen? All right.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.